This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, January 24 show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, well, actually on the phone right now, Scott Schaff with SW Group Credit Repair. Scott, thanks for coming back and sharing your wealth of information about credit.
Great to be back on, Tina.
A little bit about Scott. Scott is a nationally recognized credit expert and president of SW Group, a private referral-based credit repair organization that works with lending banks across the country to assist consumers that have credit challenges, getting them back in a position to where they can qualify for a mortgage or other things that they're looking at getting a loan on. And as we talked at the beginning of the show, your credit, your FICO score has to even, it can make a difference on whether you're getting a job, getting hired at that position that you want. So can affect every aspect of your financial life. So, Scott, let's go ahead and start out and give a background about SW Group.
Sure. SW Group is a credit repair organization, and we are not generally commercially available to the general public. We primarily work with mortgage companies that we have personal relationships with, and basically people that go in that want to purchase a home and they have some challenges with their credit. They're referred over to us, and we're able to, in a lot of cases, get them back to the bank fairly quickly to get approval.
So what about credit repair in itself, and just a little bit of explanation for my listeners on what exactly is credit repair?
Sure. A lot of people hear it, but they just don't really know what it is. Basically, it's a process of our company, or it's the consumer themselves, if they choose to, filing disputes with the three credit bureaus, and by law, they have 30 days to come back and reply. And in an example scenario, somebody would come to us, they have some negative items on their reports, such as collections or late payments, and we would have results for them in 30 days from all three of the major credit bureaus. And we can also do some advanced tactics where we can also go directly to the creditors themselves and use the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act to go after those items, which in the future it has proved to be very effective.
And so, Scott, if someone were going to ask, why hire a credit repair company instead of doing it themselves, what would be your answer?
Well, if you have a high-profile court case, just because you can represent yourself doesn't mean that you should. It's best to have somebody who's experienced, who knows all the ins and outs, especially when dealing with the credit bureaus. You know, if you try to do it on your own, in a lot of cases, they'll just kick it back as frivolous and they won't even investigate it because it's like a cat and mouse game with the bureaus. They try to not investigate the items. So you really have to know the laws. You have to know the specifics. But it absolutely is a consumer's right to do it on your own. But if you don't know what you're doing, it's probably a better idea to have somebody who's experienced take care of it for you.
Totally agree. And Scott, what about the percentage of consumers that have errors on their credit report?
Yes. Even if you go to the FTC website, they will have lots of information on there about how usually about one in four people have errors on their report. And four out of five people that file disputes with the bureaus are able to see changes on their report. But the numbers are in the millions. And that's why companies like ours exist, because there are tons of errors that are out there. And they can affect everything when it comes to your financial life and ultimately hit your wallet with money that you're spending just because there's an error on your report, extra interest that you're paying each month. So it's very important to know what's on your report.
And not just errors, Scott, but as well as violations, correct?
Sure, absolutely. And it occurs all the time, and that's why our company will analyze the report in its entirety and find those violations. You know, there's instances where companies double report an item. They go past the statute of limitations, as well as collection companies not having the proper documentation that they're supposed to have to put these items on your report.
So put the burden of proof back on the creditor.
Absolutely.
So what about some couple things that a listener can do to improve their credit on their own?
One of the most actionable things that you can do right now is to pay down your balances. People think that, I pay my bills on time each month, but if you have a total of $10,000 of available or your credit limits, and you're using half of it, mm-hmm. even if you pay it, the majority of it each month, that's bad. It's what's called a utilization ratio. So you want to get down your balances and also go after any negative items that are on there and make sure you pay on time as well.
And that's a really good point on the utilization because, yeah, a lot of people use their credit card for the free money for 30 days and then they pay it off. But you don't know when that credit report's going to be pulled. And even more when you know when it's going to be pulled, you don't know when it's going to actually reflect that zero balance. So if you're using your card, you just want to make sure if you're doing it that way that you're not getting over that 50%. And actually 30% is even better, correct? Keeping it at 30% utilization?
The lower the better. I mean, yeah. I always say, you know, if you can keep it below 15 to 30%, mm-hmm. it's great. But the less the better.
And it's important to know we're not talking per card. We're talking your overall revolving debt. So just as
correct.
You said, if you have $10,000, because I think if people do know this, a lot of times they get confused and think it's per credit card where you can just move something from one card to another to get to that perfect ratio for each individual card. But it's the overall total revolving credit debt, correct?
Yep. Add up all your credit cards mm-hmm. and your limits and add up all your balances on all of them. And that'll give you whatever percentage that is, that's your utilization rate.
Yes. So what are a couple things, so let's talk about the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act, Scott. What is it and how does it protect the consumer?
Well, we use that act to go directly to the actual creditors themselves. So, for example, if you have a collection account that was originally with AT&T, for example,
okay.
we're going to go to the bureaus to dispute it, but we can also go directly to the collection company that bought that account from AT&T and basically use that act, the Fair DCPA Act, to make them come up with all of the paperwork to prove that they have the right to put that on the report. In a lot of cases, they don't because the debt is sold in bulk. And also, not only that, we're able to actually file suit against abusive collection practices.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is receiving, and I don't want to get into all the specifics, but there's so many horrific things that these collection companies are doing to try to collect money, and they're in direct violation. There's a very specific set of guidelines that they have to follow, and if we catch them in violation of it, we'll usually settle out of court for about $300 to $500 per phone call.
Wow.
So they can't call you throughout the day. They can't leave you voicemails. They can't call and threaten to have a sheriff around the corner that's going to come arrest you. I mean, some of the things we've come across. But that's just an additional service that we do provide, and the legal fees are built into the federal statute, so it'll be at no additional cost to the client for us to send a demand letter over.
So, Scott, going back to if they can't provide the documentation and the proof, again, putting the burden back on them, what happens to that collection?
Well, in a lot of cases, we're able to get it removed from the report.
So completely deleted.
Once they see you're not a pushover and you know the laws and you're documenting all the correspondences going back and forth.
Got it.
We can help to have that item removed.
So, Scott, there are different types of credit reports. Can you talk about this?
Sure. And that's kind of twofold. There are some reports that are different. For example, when you go to buy insurance, they run a different type of credit report that's specifically designed for insurance and their variables. Same thing with utilities. They'll run a utility credit report. So you have your different credit reports there, but also when you go to these consumer websites where you put in a credit card number to view your reports,
yes.
You know, a lot of people think Credit Karma is amazing. They're really not. There's no account numbers, and they're only TransUnion. But the consumer reports vary from the mortgage reports, which is what an actual bank will pull. It's a B2B report, business-to-business report. So the scores can vary a lot on those as well. And a lot of people think, well, I just pulled it up online. This must be my score. And in some cases, it's not when you actually pull it at a bank.
Yeah, which I don't know that ever has a client given me a credit score from an online credit report that they've pulled that it's been accurate. Now, it varies. Sometimes we're talking 5 points. Sometimes we're talking 30 points. But it's hard to explain that. You know, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense because I'm getting my credit score. This should be my credit score. But the algorithms are different, and it's just very, very confusing.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of credit myths out there, Scott. Can you share a couple with my listeners?
Sure. There's actually a few. One is employers can see your credit scores.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot see your credit scores. They can see your credit report, however. So they can see all the items. They just can't see whether you're at a 650 or a 700. They can't see the number itself. That's one.
Okay.
Also, you know, one big myth that's out there is if you close open accounts, that's a good thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What that does is, let's say you have a credit card with a $10,000 limit and a zero balance. That's helping you because your utilization ratio is going to be down. If you close that account, that number of whatever available credit is drops off of your utilization rate. So,
and on that too, that's one thing that you can't do to refix. I mean, once you've closed out an account, and they, you know, typically it's what older than, you know, any older than 2 years, those can have some really positive in that credit history that you have. And once you close those accounts back down, you can't go back and fix that. So it's a pretty devastating mistake to some people's credit scores.
Yeah, and they think that, you know, hey, I'm doing the right thing here. You know, I'm closing an account. I don't need it. Well, that's great. If you don't need it, wonderful. Keep that balance at zero, and that's going to keep your score up there.
Exactly.
Because you have the available credit, and you don't need it.
What other myths are out there, Scott?
Well, there's a ton that are out there. Those are really two of the most popular ones that are there. But it's what I would recommend to everybody. You know, one of the myths we kind of spoke about earlier on, which was, you know, your balance is being high, mm-hmm. and thinking that, well, you know, I'm paying on time. That's a good thing. You know, that people think that, I can't tell you how many people come and they, you know, I see their balances and I tell them, you know, listen, you got to get those down. And they say, really? Wow. I thought that the fact that I was putting money on my card,
sure.
and I was paying each month was good.
Yeah. And so just remember, you'd use your cards, pay it off every month, but the utilization ratio, you ideally want to make sure under no circumstances it gets over 50%. And, you know, if you can keep it down to that 30 or less, it's going to be more positive. So what about an inquiry, Scott? You know, we had a conversation last week or a week and a half ago in regards to inquiries. And then again, this is another one of those things. It's hard to explain to a consumer because there's no firm point systems or rules on if it is or it's not. We all know that inquiries, if you're having your credit report pulled, and this is a hard inquiry where you're actually applying for some type of loan. Soft inquiry, different, doesn't affect and doesn't count as an inquiry. But can you talk a little bit on that?
Sure. Yeah, you want to, if you're shopping around for something and they see that you're, usually, you know, if they see that you're looking to buy a car and they see that your credit is run for something that's similar to mm-hmm. that in a short period of time, generally that's not going to really affect you as bad because they see that you're just, you know, looking at several different places. But if you are just going around just blatantly running your credit for all sorts of different things, they're going to kind of look at that like, well, this doesn't seem very responsible, you know, as on their end. You know, why is this person going 1 minute looking to buy a home, the next minute buying a car, the next minute trying to get a credit card, the next
yes.
minute trying to get this and that? They kind of, so it really varies. But if you're doing it responsibly and, you know, it's being done for something specific and they can see that, it's generally not going to harm you too bad. It still does hurt your score. It's always good to do a soft inquiry if possible. But generally, you want to, and inquiries certainly do not have as much of an impact as collection items or public records. They're the least damaging than anything else that can affect your credit score.
Yes, yeah. Well, Scott, thank you so much again for joining the show. I appreciate the insight and information that you provide for my listeners.
Yep, and look forward to being back on in February.
Likewise. And coming up next on the Money Hour, it's a great real estate market, and for the new year brings new possibilities. Are you a real estate professional, or have you thought about starting a new real estate career? How to find the best company that will fit your own personal needs. Stephanie McCarthy, president and co-owner of Real Living Northwest Realtors, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.